Let it ride.
Fuck it. Let's just record and see what happens because, you know, we technically didn't even start yet. Like our show didn't technically start. Last week was our Ashcan episode. It's the issue that we hand out to people in the little Ashcan that has no color. We print it out on cheap newsprint. Maybe like 3 people will actually read the fucking thing.
Okay.
And so now this is the actual first issue, if we're going by comic speak.
So this is the one that counts, so I better not mess this up.
This is the one. We're live. This is the one that matters.
The pressure's concerning. That's all I'm going to say right now.
All right, welcome to the fucking Do It cast. My name is Jamie Noguchi.
My name is Brandon Chalmers.
And we are here to guide you through our journey into geekdom. Every episode, we will choose a topic and try to workshop an idea until it seems like something that someone can take and actually execute.
Or we run out of time and realize that everything's fucked.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
One or the other.
Just in case you hadn't seen the episode zero of it, just to clarify, neither myself nor Jamie Noguchi hold any sort of real degree of expertise in anything. No. So,
I would pull a caveat. When it comes to eating Korean barbecue, I believe you and I are really good at that.
Yeah, I would say like top 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we got our system down. We're experts at eating unhealthy quantities of meat.
Only eating, not preparing, cooking, not recommending, just consuming.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So keep that in mind when we come up with these dumb ideas and suggestions. We are not saying that we know better. We're just saying that these are things that we think would be entertaining.
In all fairness, I will probably say that I know better. I'm full of shit, but I'm gonna stand by it anyway.
All right, so before we jump right into the main topic, Brandon, what are you liking this week? There's another podcast that I used to listen to that said, what are you geeking on this week? And I don't want to steal that phrase, but they haven't updated in a while. So what are you geeking on this week, Brandon?
I like that we're just openly stealing other people's shit.
Fuck
we really are the internet.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So I ended up down a YouTube rabbit hole this week.
Oh, no.
In a good way. So I come from the generation of probably the last generation of like MTV TV shows that was before like Jersey Shore and everything like that. So okay. I am part of the X Games, Viva La Bam sort of.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Sort of generation of reality TV. And I understand that, you know, reality is a quoted thing. A lot of those shows were lightly and some of them heavily scripted, so I get that. But the premise of it really came down to there was an episode that was one of my favorites where they went out, they formed like 4 teams of people. It was for Bam's birthday, and they did a scavenger hunt. And I have been hell-bent on this idea of grabbing the Art Fight crew together, putting us into teams, handing us essentially just a book and just sending us out on the scavenger hunt and like breaking the things up in like challenges or creations or whatever it is, because the majority of us involved in Super Art Fight are artists in our own right or capable humans able to do weird human tricks. Weird human tricks is definitely probably the best definition of what we do.
True.
As a whole. Anyway, so because of that, since that episode, I have a real love of a scavenger hunt. So I ended up down this YouTube rabbit hole from a random recommendation. I assume I watched some sort of video about something or other, and I came across what is called King of the Road.
Mm.
King of the Road is a scavenger hunt sponsored by Thrasher magazine. Thrasher is the premier skate magazine and has been for quite a few years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I ended up basically kind of Tarantinoing the thing and starting it like last year and then working my way back. I'm like halfway through the 2010 episodes at this point, where basically you get 3 skateboarding companies together. So, you know, Man, there's all sorts of racket happening over there.
The kittens have discovered doors, and they are trying to open them with their face.
Nice, solid plan. But yeah, so like, you know, your birdhouses, your Etnies, your whatever it is, like your major skate companies, they basically get their teams of crew, you know, six or seven dudes, and they each get in their own individual vans, and they basically crisscross the United States.
Wow.
Heading to different cities over a 2-week period, doing essentially like special tricks, jokes, pranks, random things, and completing what they call the Bible. The winner of this gets $50,000, a trophy, the ability to come back next year, and most importantly, the best trick of the winning team or whatever it is, or the most memorable moment of the winning team, gets photographed and gets on the cover of Thrasher magazine.
Oh, that's
so essentially,
fucking awesome.
Right. So if you were looking to, you know, you managed to get, I don't know, Birdhouse, Tony Hawk's company, to give you boards and be a sponsor for your boards, but you're looking for a shoe deal and Nike sees you on the cover of Thrasher goes back and watches the thing, there's a good chance there's more money to come, not just to mention the prize money that gets split in between the team members and everything. So most of these guys are walking away with probably $6,000 or $7,000 cash.
How long did you say the scavenger hunt goes for?
The older ones are 2 weeks. The more recent ones are just 1 week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
Right. So like you're talking like start in like the one that was 1 week was like mostly California. So it was like random bits of California. They did head to Reno. So like one of my first episodes getting into it was like the team had a challenge of get married. So like they're talking with each other and, you know, they had just got done doing the most extreme trick, naked covered in shaving cream or something like that. So, yeah. You know, one of them had just done a stupid jump all naked covered in shaving cream and he rides over and he goes, okay, so who's getting married? And the one guy looks at the other guy and he just gets on his knee and he was like, will you be my bride? And the guy was like, yeah, I will. Next thing you know, like team managers call in the chapel, like, that they can see from there and scheduling a wedding appointment.
Oh, that's
like,
amazing.
And what starts off as like a prank between the two of them, because the guys are like, oh yeah, you know, and it's of course between two of the male skaters, and the guys are like, oh yeah, we'll just get it annulled, no big deal, yada, yada, yada. And they get there and they start to go through the ceremony and everyone starts welling up and like gets super fucking emotional. So like when they actually kiss each other, there's this really like uplifting moment, and you turn back and you see the team lead, like the team coach or whatever it is, and he's this dude who like runs a skateboard company, and he's in his like late 40s or whatever. He's fucking crying.
Oh my
like,
god.
He was like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, the love between two skaters coming together to accomplish a task. That's the best definition of marriage I've ever heard. Ooh. Right. Like, you know, they walk out and, you know, they do a big photo shoot where they're popping champagne and, you know, pouring it all over each other and everything. But it was like, it started off with this really sweet moment, and then you start to go backwards and start to realize just how ridiculously out of hand the shit got leading up to that point.
That's amazing. Are they still together? Do you know if they're still together or did they get it annulled?
I don't know if they're still together or not. So that I will check back. That was the first episode of the new one that I think Vice actually took over the series now. So like they're much better filmed. It's less about the skating, more about the story of everything.
Yeah.
The old ones, it's, you know, a lot of fun pranks and tricks and everything else. And if you're into skateboarding, that's a fun watch. I've never physically been good at skateboarding, mm-hmm. but I'm always super intrigued by it and the culture and been always super impressed with anyone who has that sort of reckless abandonment for their body.
Yeah,
watching
yeah.
these shit with no pads, no helmets, just going hard as fuck on some of these rails and just eating shit and then standing back up and going, that's some bullshit. I'm going back up there and just like running back up and like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Who hurt you? What? Why? Why?
It's all for the culture, man. It's all for the culture.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right. Well, I realize for that, it's pride among your teammates and the money.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a whole different animal. We're getting a poor connection notification, at least on my end. So if I start to break up, I apologize.
I blame the internet.
What are you geeking at?
So you mentioned last week a show on History Network. I also have a favorite show of mine that I've been watching on the History Network called Forged in Fire. and it is a knife making competition. So the way they have it set up, they have three main judges, and one of them rotates every once in a while. But there's they have ABS Master Smith Jay Nielsen. There's a historic weapons recreator, and I forget his name, and I feel bad, but he has like this epic mustache, like this old ye old white haired mustache, and he's always wearing like a bespoke suit and spectacles and everything. And then they have a Kali martial artist expert, Doug Markaita. And the three of them are the judges for this blade making competition, where they invite four smiths. Some of them are amateurs, some of them have been doing it for years as a profession. And there's two rounds of competition. So the first round, they have to forge a blade in the forging area. So the typical competition sets it up as like, you know, do a signature blade in your signature style. These are the parameters. It must be within these lengths. You have to use this steel that they provide you. And on an easy day, they give you some nice, good steel. On a weird day, if they're feeling their oats, they'll give you something like a lawnmower, and you have to break down pieces of the lawnmower to find the right steel.
Right, I gotcha. Yeah, you may want to use the blade, but some people may cut parts out of the body instead because they're looking for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, there have been different variations, like instead of forging in the building, they forge outside with coal forges. So they got to heat up the coal so that's hot enough to get the random steel that they find out in the shed to welding temperature and stuff.
Right, and then also regulating the temperature and dealing with the environment and what have you. So it actually shows a skill level that is above, hey, I took a class and I know how to put some two pieces of metal together.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So round one is usually 3 hours. They forge their blade and they have to heat treat it. Otherwise, you can't use it. Like, if they don't treat the blade, it's not usable. So from those four initial smiths, they knock out one so that they're left with three.
Okay.
And then they get three more hours to put a handle on the blade, because at the end of the second round, they're going to put the blade through a bunch of tests. They usually do like a strength test and a sharpness test.
Okay. And
so like the strength test could be anything from like taking the blade and batoning it against like a metal pipe. And then taking it and trying to slice like a canvas bag, you know, to see if it slices through and doesn't tear the bag.
Right.
And then from those three, they knock out one more smith, so they're left with two. And the final challenge, and this is why they were able to pitch it to the History Channel, they reveal a historical weapon, a bladed weapon from the past. So it's like sometimes it's like this weird funky axe from Africa, or like a weird sword from East Asia or something like that. So it's like a historical weapon from the past. They give the two smiths 5 days at their home forge to make this blade in their own interpretation of the blade, and then they bring it back, and then they go through a kill test, a sharpness test, and a strength test. And it's the best part of the show, because like Doug Markaita, since he's the Kali expert, he'll get the blade and he'll, you know, warm up and just hack the shit. Usually it's a ballistics dummy, so it's like a person's torso with like ribs and guts inside. But sometimes
Similar to how the Mythbusters used to do all the testing for bullets and everything else like that, they use like it's like a body skeleton frame and then it's ballistic gelatin on top, so you get to see, you know, how deep the cuts go or whatever it is. Sometimes they'll actually put like liquid packs or spots or whatever
actually
see whether or not the blade reaches like a certain point. Like, they'll put like a liquid core in the center of it or something like that sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And so they'll usually do a ballistics dummy, but sometimes they get like real pieces of meat. So like a deer carcass or
a boar.
Right,
okay. Like, yeah. We went down and got this entire side of beef.
Yeah. And then the strength test is usually random shit. Like, sometimes they'll have to whack like a suit of armor, or they'll put it in a device where they'll slam it up against something. And then, you know, they'll do a sharpness test. A couple of times they've done a bullet test where they fire a bullet at the blade, and if the blade can split the bullet, then, you know, your heat treat was good.
Well, no shit. So wait, so they hone the edge. I assume they put the bullet relatively point blank at it.
No. They go down range because the host of the show is an ex-Marine and a marksman. So he's the guy who does the shooting. So he sets up, you know, hand on bag, but like freehands it and then shoots the bullet. And he's accurate as fuck because he's always hit the blade.
Okay.
So that show is really fun. I like watching the Smiths do their thing and hammering away. Aside, they did another show called Forged in Fire, Knife or Death, which is a chopping competition hosted by former WCW undefeated champ Goldberg.
Of course, yeah. A man not actually known for chopping fucking anyone, by the way.
Yeah. And so they do a bunch of rounds of, like, I don't know if you've ever watched knife competitions on YouTube.
No.
But they have various stations set up, and you have to chop through it with your blade. And so they have...
I watch a lot of infomercials, Jamie, so I understand the idea of like, whatever the fuck, Chef Tony or whatever he was, yeah. Where he would, like, he'd go out and he would saw a, like... a piece of wood or something like that, and then he'd turn the blade over, and then he'd take a tomato, and then he'd throw it at it, and it would split in half in slow motion. And then he's like, can you do that with your knife in your kitchen? I bet you can't. More importantly, I bet you won't. And it's like, fuck you, you condescending little stereotype.
You don't know me. I got a knife. I got some fish. Fuck it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you and the dude who used to try and sell me that weird gazelle piece of exercise equipment with a stupid fucking ponytail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So watching Bill Goldberg talk about knives and the way they're – it's amazing. It's hysterical.
I hope that Bill Goldberg's actually a knife expert and I wasn't aware, because I feel like there's probably some sort of subcommunity – like if not, there's some sort of subcommunity on like Reddit or something like that that sounds like – is just picking him apart like anyone who goes on a gun rant about something but doesn't understand firearms, and you just watch all these firearms experts just go, well, actually, and they just get super like fedora rocking neck beard wearing nerd on them about these specifics. You know there's got to be some sort of like former Chesapeake knife and tool manager douchebag is doing that shit.
I would love to see that, because I relish in people having passions about stuff and then shitting on people who don't know what they're talking about. It's, I love it. I fucking love it. I'll leave you with one last bit. My favorite part about Forged in Fire is Doug Marchida, because he's a great personality. He's really funny to watch. He's got great moves when he's cutting stuff. And after he does the kill test, he'll describe how the blade felt in his hand and how well it moved through whatever piece of meat or carcass he was cutting. And then he'll turn to the contestants, and if the blade makes the kill test, he says, it will kill. And it's the greatest thing ever. Like, he's become a meme in the fans of the show. They have, like, shirts and everything. And
oh, yeah.
It's great.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's go on to the pitch. So Brandon and I have a Google Doc that we just throw up ideas. We don't really prepare for the show other than like putting these ideas in this Google Doc.
We really should load it into the Super Art Fight patented Wheel of Death and just do these at random.
Yeah. Well, I think initially we're going to go in order.
Okay.
So the first – today we're going to talk about Star Wars. Now –
oh shit. Okay.
Star Wars has been having a rough time lately. We're not going to litigate, you know, the state of the franchise or like we think this sucks, or we're not going to go back to the prequels and say how they fucked the franchise over with that. We're not going to say how, you know, like we definitely have our opinions about stuff. I personally enjoyed what they're doing with the new stuff.
Yep.
And I think Brandon, you know, I think you liked some of the new stuff, too.
I liked all the new stuff. So if you want to turn us off right now, that's fine. Right. But fuck it. Whatever. Like, here's the thing. you're getting more of what you already loved growing up. Quit bitching.
Yeah.
We're always going to want to change something. You're never going to find that love that you found as a child. Accept that. Show it to a 9-year-old and watch them lose their fucking mind and then take a breath.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about the prequels or the sequels or spin-off movies.
Are we going in that direction? Because we may technically be talking about the prequels.
Well, technically, but we're not going to be talking about the movies specifically, but we are going to talk about things that we would like to see from the universe. So
more specifically, are we talking about the spin-off idea?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So these are quick ideas of more Star Wars, because we've seen it happen with the Solo movie, and everyone can argue, you know, the merits of it, but, like, you know, what are we talking about? A Boba Fett movie and a Kenobi movie.
Yeah, we don't care about that stuff.
Okay, right. So that aside, Jamie, you and I go real deep on this shit.
Oh, yes.
So I think the real question is, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Sure, I'll talk a little bit about what our idea here is, our ideation. So last week Brandon talked about a reality show that he liked. This week he's talking about another semi-reality show that he enjoys. I as well enjoy the reality space. So what we were thinking is that, you know, we don't want more Jedi shit. We don't want more Skywalker shit. We don't want more Solo shit. We want to see reality shows based in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Similarly to how Rogue One was kind of the band of brothers of the Star Wars universe, I think there's, literally there is a physical universe to be expanded upon. I think looking down on one or many different factions of this, fuck, I really think they have enough content, possibly, to come up with a goddamn channel of just nothing but Star Wars-related deep-cut shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole fucking cooking show. We find out that, like, Obi-Wan's buddy from the diner in the prequels is, like, the fucking Julia Child of Coruscant.
Oh, my God, and that would be great.
Right, and he just teaches us random foods and things. And then at the end, he goes, well, if you don't have bantha, you can use beef. And then come to find out, it was actually teaching you to cook the entire time.
It would be great if he was just, like, picking out ingredients that make no sense and have no earth correlation.
Right, but we find out it's actually the same thing. He calls it Samba Bamba, and then under it, it says garlic. And it's like, oh!
That would be great.
Cheese garlic, right on!
I would love that. One of the big ones that we hit upon when we were throwing this idea around was pod racing. So there's a show called Street Outlaws. I don't know what channel it's on, but it's about these guys.
Ironically, history once again.
Is it on the History Channel? Jesus,
killing it with the fucking reality.
What is? They don't even talk about the
history. Maybe it's Discovery Channel. It might be Discovery. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, whatever channel, it's a show about these guys who work all day on their cars and then race them in the evening. Pod racers are a perfect venue for this kind of show.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're just talking, like, to give a very brief version of this. Things set in Oklahoma. A lot of these guys run their own day-to-day race shops or car repair shops. They have a passion for street racing, which is not at a track. They basically go out. They block off part of a road. Similar to the first Fast and Furious. Guys line up, they have a top 10 list, they go out and they drag race at an eighth mile. So you were talking short course but high speed, so, you know, an eighth mile you're reaching upwards of 170, 180 miles an hour. Guys are fucking fast.
Yeah.
So the idea being that pod racing was fucking rad.
Yeah.
You can argue all you want about the prequels, but I stand by the line in the sand. The pod racing was fucking rad.
Mm-hmm.
The video game, the one N64 about pod racing, was fucking rad. The soundtrack was fucking rad. Like, one of the best things to put on if you have a surround sound system is the fucking pod race.
Oh, man.
It's a bulbous motor when you hit that ding, 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 as it goes from, like, one end of your speakers to the other is fucking incredible.
Yeah. And if you want the nostalgia kick, you actually center it around Sebulba. So, like, you know, if you need a character to hang it on, put Sebulba in there.
You literally pick up right after the race where he got beat by Annie. Therefore, all the fucking Skywalkers are gone.
Yeah.
We never go back to the mom. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Nope.
Ever. She doesn't hang out and work in the concession stand. We don't go back to Watto's place. We avoid all the fucking stereotypes we want. We take the pre-existing list of racers that's in that Star Wars video game.
Yeah.
And you start doing a story where obviously they race each other. They know each other. They all have to have their own teams and crews. Do they join together by species? Do they join together by culture? Or are they all bound together by the love of going fast?
Family.
We could spin it and turn it into a movie where we go full Fast and Furious with this shit.
Oh,
but
hell
in
yeah.
Space, or we keep it actually a reality thing where it's just about the racing. And these guys, like, you find out Sebulba, father of five.
Yeah.
You didn't know. You thought he was calling everybody poodoo out on the racetrack. That doesn't matter. Because when he comes home and he has to explain to his wife, I lost and the pod racer's done and we're upside down on the mortgage and I got to work like a ton to get the pod racer back up to try and earn cash. Well, how did you lose? Well, I got beat by a fucking 9-year-old.
a Terran 9-year-old. Oh, or whatever God. They call him. In
whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Right, a pasty, peach-ass, doughy 9-year-old.
The thing about this, though, that's great is it there's a built-in continuity of stuff. So, like, we have the pod racers from the prequels. We got the land speeder from A New Hope. And we've got the forest racers from Return of the Jedi. So, like,
gotcha. Okay. So we also have the new sand racers from the new movie.
Yeah.
Along with that. So there could actually be different classes, pod racing being like the super fast stuff, and then come to find out there's different versions of this stuff. We bring into different classes.
Yeah.
They have a super fun like side version. And for anyone who has actually watched Street Outlaws and goes, well, what about the redneck douchebags, farm fucking Asian? Never mind them. Okay? We're going to step away from the stereotypes. We're going to find some fun comedy relief, but it's going to be like, Jamie, in my head, if you're going to get racing, you're going to be in the middle of a planet that's nothing but fucking dirt. Mm-hmm. I need me a space Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh my God, yeah.
It doesn't have to be that terrible, but if he could be, that'd be great.
That would be amazing. I like
even if it's just Patton Oswalt cast as a space pig who just goes out and does random things, just to have him go off on a rant about something
would be great.
Fucking incredible.
Or Simon Pegg, if you need to connect it to like the movies, Simon Pegg could reprise his character.
Sure.
He owns racers on whatever, like, what is that planet? Jakku. Whatever they use for racing, that guy has got to own a whole bunch of shit.
Well, also, we're assuming that Tatooine is the only planet that has pod racing. Like, somehow they're the only ones who figured it out. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
And much like Street Outlaws, where they're all in Oklahoma City, and then all of a sudden someone comes in from Louisiana. Your Kai Kelly comes in from Dagobah, right? From the southern small planet. And he's ready to fucking go, and we get ourselves a planet v. planet brawl.
They throw down
with each other. Yeah, I'm telling you right now. The pod racing show, and I understand it's a one-for-one ape of a reality television show. I don't fucking care. We made it clear we're just going to steal ideas.
Yeah.
And two, if it ain't broke, why the fuck am I going to try and fix it?
Yeah.
We're workshopping ideas that will work.
Yeah, I mean,
not trying to come up with a whole new thing.
Yeah,
I get it.
People watch Street Outlaws. There's like a couple of different seasons. There's like a whole Ohio version.
There's a couple different versions. Yeah, yeah. They've got spinoffs now of different cities that are going on.
Yeah.
They're not nearly good. but yeah, I think we could go into this. I think it could go multiple different directions. But we explore the vehicles of it.
Yeah.
Like, you could do an entire vehicle-based Star Wars thing where, like, you find out that, like, and I haven't seen Solo, but, you know, we find out that the Falcon, you know, got this and that, or there's a rival Falcon. I find it incredibly hard to believe it's the only fucking version of that ship in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a fucking one-off hot rod. It's a fucking Honda Civic. So
yeah.
There's got to be more of these things.
There's
a fucking ton of X-Wings.
Yeah.
Somebody had to have made more of this gigantic family dinner plate-ass cruiser.
I think there's also got to be people on the in the Empire, like rich dudes who are like using their parents' money, who are tricking out their TIE fighters somewhere out in the sticks, just
right.
like racing
yeah.
them.
Yeah, I want to see a TIE fighter with underglow. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, dude,
custom paint jobs,
dude.
Like we got to see it with Poe's, mm-hmm. where you got that pumpkin ass looking one with the black and orange.
Yeah.
There's got to be some others. Like somebody must have found an old warplane and done it up with the fucking teeth coming up the side of it. How could they not?
A TIE fighter with spinners, you know, just...
Sure, okay, I feel like we're heading into a weird range there, but right on, that's fine.
Well, you gotta go, like, the West Coast Customs part, too, for going all vehicles.
Jamie, as someone who still actively enjoys car culture, who subscribes to Motor Trend on demand, I have to... You gotta back away. Anything that's exhibit-ish, where you hear, like... Yo, dog, I heard you like, if pitches the idea of, like, okay, it's exhibit, but in space, I'd be like, hang on.
it would work for, like, a season, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm afraid that we're never going to get the fun follow-up episodes where we actually find out how poorly done West Coast Customs work was. We took this 1996 Chevy Lumina and turned it into a pod racer. They go to the next episode. This thing never actually started.
Yeah.
Like, I showed up. They turned everything on. Come to find out, an extension cord plugged into it. It never drove again.
But I think in general, though, I think extending the universe that way would give the fans something else to bitch about. Because, like, everyone who's complaining about Star Wars now is like, oh... This is the way it should have been written. This is the way it should have been written. This is the way it should have been written. Something like this would get the fans bitching about other stuff, like that converter didn't work that way, or like, you know, this kind of thing. Like, it would kind of refocus the nerd rage into something more positive, I feel.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
But Bosk.
Yeah. I mean, it just writes itself. It writes itself.
We follow Bosk. Going through and hunting people down, and we come to find out he's the former ice smoking incarcerated redneck Hawaiian of the galaxy.
Hey there, brother.
Yeah, we find out Boss says brother a lot. He started weirdly enough in the mountains. He's got a bunch of kids by somebody else who's gonna, like, we're gonna learn about Boss's entire culture.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm for it. I'm for it.
I think the premise has to be, Jamie, across the board, whatever the thread is of what you do or what you're into that you dangle into the universe, we pull on that thing, cable knit sweater, and it just unravels into an entire show that we just watch.
Yeah, because the movies aren't going to sustain the culture. Like, if we're going to get Star Wars until we die, we need, like, the deep cuts. And I feel like this is a great way to do that.
Yeah, I, because I'm curious how many fucking Skywalkers there really can be.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah. And tricked out pod racers.
That's marketing.
Toys up the wazoo, man.
It might sound silly to start with the car culture, but I think if we use Fast and Furious as any sort of guide, you always start with the car culture.
Always with the cars.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
And then that'll lead into, like, the bounty hunter stuff, but also, like, you'll have a David Attenborough version of it where we study
Holy
the creatures
shit.
Of everything.
Yes!
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy mother! Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, honestly, if we just actually drag some sort of, like, dude, I think it's got to be, maybe it's actually just Simon Pegg. Mm-hmm. Not Simon Pegg in an outfit or anything else like that. Just fucking Simon Pegg. And we just drag him to a new planet, and we put him in front of the thing, and he just flips the fuck out, just screams, "The fuck is that? Why does it have six titties? Why does it have blue milk? How does it move around?
Yeah.
What is it? Why is that weird hairy man milking it for some reason and then looking lovingly back at someone?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on?" Yeah,
that's what I wanted. That's actually why I was so sad when the Avatar sequels were announced, because it wasn't that. Because the world that James Cameron created with all those creatures was much more interesting than the story. And if we got like a David Attenborough thing, like exploring the geosphere of Gaia with all the creatures and the animals,
yeah,
I would watch that for like hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we just, what we need is like Planet Earth from Discovery Channel, but with other actual planets.
Yes. I'm there for it. And yeah. And I think that will help sustain Star Wars, and it will merchandise the shit out of it, because people will buy those box sets.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Who do we yell at? Disney? Is that who we yell at right now?
Disney, Kathleen Kennedy. Yeah. Okay. That's who this is for.
Right on. Okay. So when we get the cease and desist from the fine people at the House of the Mouse, yes. I know we've hit it too much on the head.
All right, well, we could go on and on and on, and we will, but I think this is a good stopping place.
Yeah.
We actually have an official website now.
Oh, shit. This is one of the, pulling the curtain back a little bit, this is one of my favorite parts about doing anything with Jamie Noguchi, where he's like, we should do a fucking podcast of this shit. I'm like, yeah, cool, what are you thinking? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, I figured out how to do this, and then we got a logo. We got the, by the way, the logo, the theme song, the website, all of these things, all I do is shout into the void. I carry no capability on any of this stuff. This is all Jamie Noguchi's hard work. I will never take responsibility for Jamie Noguchi's hard work. He's a bazillion times more talented than I am.
Well, thank you.
Everything.
Well, we have a website. It's fuckingdoitcast.com. If you don't feel like typing that into your browser, you can do fdicast.com, which will resolve to fuckingdoitcast.com. We have an email address. So if you have topics that you wish us to workshop, or ideas that you want us to shit on and try to make it unshitty, you can write us at info@fuckingdoitcast.com. When we get sponsors and do sponsor reads, I want you to do it in your Balmer Brandon voice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Wherever you see this, if you have suggestions of things you want us to talk about, hit us up, in our socials. Where, Brandon, where can people find you?
At Balmer Brandon on Instagram, at Brandon Chalmers on Twitter, Brandon Chalmers on Facebook. Just hit me up. A lot of you will probably you type my name into somewhere, you're gonna find me. If you can't find me, go to superartfight.com. You can find me through that. All that other fun stuff. Jamie, I look forward to whatever the first one is. I don't know if we should start giving them away, like we start doing one free ad for something.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So I would say figure out who you want me to cut an ad for, and we'll start throwing them out there and see.
I'll work on this. I'll workshop this idea.
I don't even workshop it. Just come up with a product. And I don't give a fuck what it is, and it doesn't even have to actually be what's already on a pot. Like, if you're like, you know what, Keebler, we should start selling those EL fudge cookies, I'll get down on that.
Nice.
I'll rip that shit.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And you can find me just Angry Zen Master on Twitter. It's easy to find me. Jamie Noguchi, just type it into a browser. I come up everywhere. You can find my shit everywhere. And hit us up here at info@fuckingdoitcast.com. And that's going to do it.
Do you sell the Patreon?
Oh, yeah, but I don't update it enough. I'm going to push that when I have, like, books in the work and all that kind of stuff.
Either way, when are you making your next con appearance also?
Oh, I'm going to be at San Diego Comic-Con next weekend.
Okay,
well, be hanging out with the Digital Pimp. I'll be hanging out with Phil Chan, Master of Disguise, Phil Chan.
Master of Disguise, Phil Chan, yes. So go support Jamie. Go support all of our creators, all of our friends' creators, yada, yada, yada. If you happen to watch this and you're going to be at Kineticon this weekend, unfortunately, Super Artfight won't be there. But if you hit up the Opinions May Vary cast, guys, and you mention Jamie Noguchi's name, they get what, Jamie?
You get a free pin. You get an Opinions May Vary pin, which is really cool.
Yep.
So check them out. Also hit up the Cosplay 101 panel. Friend of the show, V Cosplay, Vicky Miller. She's going to be doing her shit up there. So it's awesome.
Yes.
And then who else is up there? Oh, Mookie and Garth in the Artist Alley. But if you're going to Kineticon, you already know who the fuck they are.
Yep.
But check them out anyway. Tell them we sent you.
Yep.
Give them big hugs. and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
All right.
Cool.
We out. Peace.
Later.